Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to another episode slash very much the final episode of the series Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison. Here's Dave Cribb.
And to mark the final episode of the season, did you notice one character this week said my traditional podcast intro?
I did noted that. I'd noted that down.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Well, he just says ahoy.
He does. Well, that's good enough for me, isn't it?
Yeah, he does it in a great way. He like enters, it's Joey. He enters the room, enters Monica's apartment and says ahoy and does a little wave.
So what I would say now is that this podcast has officially been quoted by...
Officially floated
by Friends. and I'll be taking no further questions on the timelines or logic of that sentence, okay?
Yeah, fine.
Endorsed by Joey Tribbiani, this podcast is...
Yeah.
Prove me wrong. Oh, see, that was the endorsement ringing through.
It's arrived.
It's here.
Dave, what do you think you have learned from this series of Friends with Friends?
Well, if you're just joined us and you are not a Patreon subscriber, that's absolutely fine. Don't worry. You're not some sort of secondary...
Concern
in our lives, but...
You are secondary.
What you won't know is that I've just discovered probably the most shocking thing of the season is that Pete has been drinking caffeine unbeknownst to him for years because he didn't realise there was caffeine in Diet Coke.
Yeah, that's blowing my fucking mind.
Which is why he started this podcast, as you might have noticed, with a rather energetic hello.
But I've only drunk, like, I've got a can.
Yeah.
And I've drunk about, like, the height of my... I was about to say the height of my little finger, which makes no sense.
No.
That's, I mean, like, if my little finger is horizontal.
The width of your little finger.
The width of my... yeah. I've had a very long day, and trying to explain... I've had a bit of Diet Coke.
But not a very long sip of Diet Coke, is what you're saying.
So now I'm going to leave it. I might stick it in the fridge till tomorrow.
Stick it in the fridge. There's something quite nice about a slightly flat but cold Diet Coke the day after, I find.
I actually think I've got the remnants of another Diet Coke in the fridge already, Dave.
Oh my God, you can make a concoction of Diet Coke because that's all you've got. But still, exciting Combine times them. Ahead, eh?
Oh, very much so.
Should talk about Friends, shall we?
If we must.
We have already talked about Friends a little bit, actually, with the Ahoy stuff. So actually... More than ever, we've gone early, you know?
Yeah.
But now we'll do it properly.
And why don't you read out one of the two requests?
Requests of the season. Would you like request one or two first, Pete? Toss a coin.
Two.
Okay. Hi, Pete and Dave. I'm Daphne. I discovered your podcast 3 months ago.
Brackets
3 months before you actually requested this, so that could be up to 2 years ago.
Oh, I think this one was fairly recent.
Because it's a secondary one. Fair enough. And listen to every episode until finally getting to this week's episode in real time. I mostly listen to you when I tidy up. Having messy kids mean I could listen to about 3 episodes every day, which is awful, but also great. Why is it awful? What the fuck are you saying?
No, I think the messy kids is the awful bit.
Oh, I see.
It's the tidying up that's the awful bit, and then I think, very kindly, the great bit is getting to listen.
Phew, I'll take that as an interpretation, even if it's not what they meant. I'd like to suggest the one with Phoebe's cookies. There's a relatively subtle product placement compared to Pottery Barn in a plot that's actually funny.
I feel like subtle is generous.
It is. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll come to this beat. It was fairly subtle for me, and I'll tell you for why when we get to it.
Right, okay.
I love it when Monica says to Chandler, "You don't want this," and it was, "Oh, you don't." I was like, "Sorry, what line is that off the top of my head?" Oh, it's when she's asking for an engagement present, and he goes, "What we want, honey?" And she goes, "No, you don't want this." It also has a huge plot hole when Jack Gallagher asks Chandler not to say anything to Judy's parents, and when they ask for legal advice, yes, because both dead. I've absolutely written that down in my note. You're quite right. You are quite right. Come on, Jack. You're not a lawyer, but you've not even got a good memory. Judy's
maybe the legal
dead.
Advice is wills and probate.
Well, maybe, yeah. I've actually got a really funny thing to read off the internet about that, which I was going to say for later.
About wills and probate?
No, about Jack Geller. About Jack Geller, like about the plot hole, basically.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I feel like you've teed that up. No, actually, how good is it?
It's just a funny... It's not like a Reddit forum. It's like a summary. It's like one of the synopsis pages where people put like plot holes and trivia and all that sort of stuff in, you know? And it's just the way that they phrase their potential interpretation, which is exactly a Daphne's plot hole right here. I'm going to read it verbatim. Jack tells Chandler that Judy's parents think he's a lawyer and that if he ever sees them giving them legal advice, to just nod along. However, as of the one where Nana dies twice, both of Judy's parents are dead. Her mother dies in that episode and it's mentioned that she's with Pop Pop and Aunt Phyllis now. Jack may have been talking about seeing their ghosts.
Maybe he is. I mean, that's why you should just nod and...
You think Jack is advising Chandler, should he ever come into contact with Judy Geller's ghost parents, he should nod along if
polite,
Jack starts giving them legal advice. And then Daphne continues, the Joey and Rachel scene at the end is my absolute favourite end scene in all of Friends. Wow. To be fair, Joey is right. Rachel doesn't know how to hold a sandwich. Yes, have you read my notes? Because I'm only just reading this for the first time. And I got incredibly incensed by the way Rachel was holding that sandwich at the end. I mean, it wasn't just a bit wrong, was it? Like, the whole middle of the sandwich dropped out. Like, she is an idiot.
I didn't think I can't remember ever having the filling to my sandwich fall out of my sandwich.
Like, entirely. By the end, she's holding two slices of bread together.
Mm.
The Earl of Sandwich would be livid because what she's done is undo all his good work and just...
Did the Earl of Sandwich invent the sandwich?
Well, it's either that or an urban myth. I can't remember.
Right.
It's one of those ones, isn't it? There's basically a question on QI that the answer is either... The Earl of Sandwich, or if you say the Earl of Sandwich, that'd be the alarm, you know?
Yes, okay, yes. Fair.
Anyway, thank you, love the pod, I already said that, Daphne. Yes, well, look, we love you now. Well, I'm speaking for myself, actually, because I feel like you've delved into my brain with a lot of your points there. That's the longest it's probably ever taken me to read that request, because I had so many thoughts on
it. Now you've got another one to read.
Oh, I know, Christian. Hey, Fwuff Pod. Oh, the first time we've been addressed like that, I think. I'd like to request Season 7, Episode 3, the one with Phoebe's cookies. It's always fun seeing a story unravelling about Phoebe's grandma. Another one would be about the picture frames. Yes, and this time it's extra special because Monica has a quest to be the best mum. Besides the obvious Phoebe quotes from the other episodes, I believe this episode has one of the more subtle gems. I often find myself saying Nestlé Toulouse whenever I hear French. The boat plot brings us a great, refreshing, and totally not green screen outdoor set. And the Chandler plot brings us something steamy. Oh, I like the way, Christian, that you've written that as like as if you were writing in the Radio Times.
Yes, good.
You know, like a synopsis being written. Enjoy the pod. Thanks for the laughs, Christian. Thank you for the request, Christian. And talking of synopses, would you like one, Pete? What a smooth segue. God, we're really getting into our stride for the last episode, aren't we?
It's all that caffeine we've been drinking.
Absolutely. I did have a Diet Coke about 10 minutes before you, so I'm as buzzed as you at this stage. Season 7, Episode 3, the one with Phoebe's cookies, 226405.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I like that. I still quite like that. Phoebe offers to give her grandmother's secret cookie recipe to Monica as an engagement gift, but the recipe was destroyed in the fire. Monica obsessively attempts to recreate it, only to later learn the recipe is Nestle Toll House's. Rachel offers to teach Joey how to sail, but soon finds herself being verbally abusive to him for his lax attitude. Her abusive teaching style makes her realise she's acting just like her nasty father back when he taught her to sail. And Chandler's new eyeglasses, well, I think we can just call them glasses, can't we, guys, fog up in the gym steam room, so he removes them, causing him to accidentally sit on his future father-in-law's nude lap. Is it nude lap? Are we calling it a nude lap?
We don't know it's a nude lap.
Well, I have some concerns about the levels of nudity in this spa facility.
Well, quite. Well, can we make this? Are we going in on?
I think
Chandler,
let's go straight into that bit, okay. Because this is part of my thoughts.
Is your query, when Chandler goes to get in the jacuzzi,
yeah,
and is naked.
Yeah.
Why would he not be wearing a swimsuit?
Yeah, like when would that ever be the case? Or even if it's potentially the case, when would it ever be your such confident assumption that you're absolutely sure, you know?
Yeah, gay sauna.
That's what I mean. There are some specific circumstances and places. I mean, not jacuzzi necessarily, but...
Imagine being in a jacuzzi with someone who was naked. Public jacuzzi. Like, I can understand if you, like, I don't know, go away for a fancy weekend and it's a jacuzzi, take your kegs off, get in.
You mean a private jacuzzi?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's
communal one in a swimming pool.
Yeah,
if his penis was just, like, jumping around in the jacuzzi.
Well, yeah, because jacuzzis famously sort of force things upwards, right?
Well, yeah, and...
Via the bubbles.
And it wouldn't be... It would...
Yeah, go on.
It wouldn't even just sort of be floating...
No, it'd be
almost quite sort of elegantly.
It'd be bobbing, wouldn't it?
It would be bobbing.
Yeah.
It would erratically be bobbling. Bobbling?
No one wants to see Chandler Bing's bobbing dick, do they?
No. Well, no.
Especially not his father-in-law, I would hope. Also, like, again...
I think tits would stay more static. Penis would be bobbling around.
In what?
A jacuzzi.
In a jacuzzi, right, yeah.
I don't reckon jacuzzi bubbles move tits.
No, I think there's more weight or sort of structural integrity, I guess, you know?
Depends how big your penis is.
Yeah, but even so, it's shapely-wise, there's not a spread of distribution of weight, you know?
No.
Like with a breast.
No, that's true.
But even if...
are we ever going to talk about Friends this week? Or is it just...
We're talking about it. Chandler's bobbing bing. But yeah, I just think... I mean, but going back to it again, it's not even like it's a male-only... jacuzzi, like,
no, there's two women in it,
and there's two women there. Like, what the hell is he thinking? Mm. Like, honestly, what is he thinking?
Also, if I suspected that I was going to be required to be naked, I would, and I know soundy, but then it wouldn't be funny klaxon. I would always check. So, if I was not sure, there is no chance that I would not take the safe bet in that situation.
No, especially with your soon-to-be father-in-law.
Yeah.
And also, while we're on the soon-to-be father-in-law thing, right? I've got many, many, many thoughts about Chandler calling him daddy, obviously, because...
I mean, these days, since the term daddy seems to have come back into...
Well, I think that was still certainly had that insinuation back then, right?
Pedro Pascal's made it more of a thing, right?
Right, okay. But even taking that away... And, like, getting rid of the daddy element of it, which Chandler's clearly tried to tell him. Even him calling him dad is fucking weird, isn't it? It's not his dad, Pete.
Yeah, but my mum used to call my dad's parents dad and mum.
Did she?
Yeah.
I just, like, don't you find... Right, okay, the problem is, what I'm going to do now is say something that if there are couples listening that do this... No. I might ruin them. but I'm going to say it anyway. I just feel like if you're calling your partner's parents mum and dad, it's kind of like your partner's your sibling.
I mean, that's a bit of a leap.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, the only other people in my life...
Like a penis in a jacuzzi, that is making a bit of a leap.
I wouldn't want to be calling the same person dad as my partner, is
no,
what I'm
I
saying.
Think that's fair.
I feel like that's weird. The
but
only
also,
person...
isn't it funny? Because it also would feel slightly ridiculous. Like, how childish, like, if your partner's there being like, hey, Rob, that's my dad's name.
Right.
And then I'm there like, dad, that makes me seem ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Well, it just sounds childish, doesn't it?
What, calling someone dad? I don't think so.
I mean, like, oh God, how do I articulate this on this little sleep?
Right.
So if me and my significant other,
yeah,
I would find it weird to be calling my dad, but then, oh no, but then that does happen.
That's normal. What I'm saying is that is normal. Wouldn't you find it weirder if you said, hey, dad, and then your partner said, hey, dad?
Yeah, I wouldn't want my boyfriend calling my dad.
Right. And then wouldn't it even weird if you said, hey, dad, and he's like, hey, daddy?
Oh, God. Oh. Wow.
Both these things happen in this episode of Friends, Pete.
Yeah.
This is not a jacuzzi penis. This is absolutely written into the script this week, you know?
As is a... Yeah, no, that's a spoiler.
What was it? It's not a spoiler, Pete. This episode came out in 2002.
I was going to say, as a portable CD player at a gynecologist.
2000, sorry. Yes. Okay, fair. So, yeah, anyway, look, I think we can all agree it's best that Chandler doesn't call
I have absolutely no idea what we were talking about.
Chandler calling Jack
what
Dad.
What episode is this? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, just to finish this train of thought. Why is Jack not, like, I mean, Chandler calling Jack dad is even weirder when you consider the day before this, Jack apparently didn't even know Chandler's name.
Yes, Chancey.
Chancey. It's not like it's his daughter's new boyfriend.
Chancey's a Pokemon.
Oh, really?
It's the nurse. It was like the nurse one.
Pikachu's on a bus.
Pokemon, yeah.
But he's known Ross. He's known Chandler since Ross was in college. He's his son's best friend.
Who, Pikachu? Oh.
Jack, not Pikachu, no.
Yeah. Right.
Pete's been up since 4 a.m, by the way. The delirium you might be able to spot creeping in, I think, is potentially a result of that. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
Anyway, either way... Chauncey has been invited to play racquetball by Daddy, and they've all gone with Ross to make it even worse. And then they've got in what I would describe as the steamiest steam room in the history
Very
of
steamy,
steam.
Yeah.
I've never been in a steam room that's even a third that steamy, I'd say. The history of steam. Have you ever witnessed that much steam?
Maybe when I've opened a dishwasher just after it's finished, when I'm wearing
my glasses. Right, okay, but that's... Even still, a small quantity, maybe the same concentration, but a small quantity of steam. The amount of steam in that room is like someone's put a haze machine on for hours.
I also love the delivery of, and it was really steamy.
Yeah. it was, in Chandler's defense. And also, I feel the pain of the glasses in a steam room, Pete.
I've never worn my glasses in a steam room.
Fucking glasses, actually, in general, are a pain in the anus.
Do you know what?
For any sort of spa scenario.
Oh, God, that was so visceral.
Why?
Just, I wasn't expecting the word anus. do you know when wearing glasses was bad?
Why?
Pandemic.
Why?
Masks.
Oh, I see. Yes, right, exactly. So, yeah, I forgot all about that. That was awful, wasn't it? Yeah, I had to develop a system where you'd have to sort of tuck your glasses under
Which
the bottom of
you
your glasses.
You just looked like a fucking dickhead when you did that, didn't
not
you?
An absolute dickhead, but at least I could see then.
Yeah. And you might not get COVID as a result. But you had COVID loads, didn't you?
Four times, baby.
Four times.
He's a fourer.
Mm.
Anyway, so yeah, glasses are a pain in the arse in any sort of steam room sauna. They get very hot as well, actually. That's the thing. They don't
saunas?
Warm you. Yeah, saunas, steam rooms, anything like that.
Very much part of the brief, isn't it?
What?
For a sauna to be hot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I agree. But I'm just saying, if you're a glasses wearer, that can be inconvenient sometimes, Pete.
Well, yeah.
And my final point about this, unless you've got anything else to say, is I don't understand why Chandler is so keen to prevent Jack from telling the story, so much so that he arranges a face-to-face meeting. I think at best that story is a bit embarrassing, but actually, I think it's quite fun.
I'd rather sit on my father-in-law's lap than get my penis out in a jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah, well, he's made it infinitely worse, right?
Hmm. He's going to continue quote me on that.
Well, I won't quote you, and I won't expect you to do either if you don't want to.
Okay.
And I imagine you don't want to.
Stop forcing me to be naked in a jacuzzi, Dave.
We should actually talk about Chandler's glasses in the first place, because the whole episode starts when he comes in and
that
sort
opener's
of...
not funny.
Do you not like it?
The only bit I like is there's one Rachel bit.
Yeah.
Feminine? Yes.
Yeah. I would say, actually, you're quite right. It's not that good an opener, but it's very relatable for life, I think. I've actually had this twice in the last month with two different people who have got glasses, and I thought they already had glasses. Do you know what it reminded me of, actually, Pete? This is the occasional other show we discuss here. It reminded me very much of the Does Stanley Have a Mustache opener in,
love that.
In
yeah.
The Office.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same thing. Actually, if you close your eyes for both of those people, it's hard to...
Immediately
pick out what is the norm. And here's a fun tidbit, actually, to finish the glasses chat, Pete. Chandler has worn glasses before, but not in real life.
What do you mean?
He wore glasses in the alternate reality, in the one that could have been.
Oh, yes.
Which is why it looks vaguely familiar to you, the listener, but why none of the friends should recognise him in glasses.
Because it was the Friends multiverse.
The multiverse, exactly. And in the multiverse, that was just a way of differentiating Chandler. But in this episode, real glasses, because Matthew Perry's eyes got shit.
There you go.
There you go. The more you know about Matthew Perry's eyesight... I don't know how to finish that sentence, just blasting. Cookies or boat?
Boat.
Boat.
Joey having a boat is a very odd subplot, even by Friends standards. Isn't it?
It really is.
Particularly given it goes on a while.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of boat-related content, isn't there?
Also, green screen, so naff.
Oh my God, it's like it's honestly the level of green screen. This is season 7 of an incredibly successful show in the year 2000. Why is the effect they use basically what I could do in my living room?
Yeah.
Like, that is about as bad as it is, isn't it, green screen-wise? I literally need a green bit of cloth and a basic bit of technology to make that effect. Also, the green screen, very prominent Twin Towers.
Yes.
Constantly.
Right in the middle, aren't they?
Smack bang in the middle, which really dates this episode.
There's one other aspect of them going sailing that I don't quite get. You know when Joey asks to float over towards the boatload of girls?
Yeah.
I really don't think people treat the Hudson River like an Ibiza boat trip. It's not like they're all going to, should we go out on the Hudson and have some cocktails in our bikini? Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. It made it really seem like you say, that we're in the sort of Greek islands or in Ibiza. I mean, and considering this was October as well, I can't imagine the weather was particularly friendly. I mean, Joey and Rachel are wrapped up, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not in sort of fun summer gear, so I don't imagine there's loads of people out on the river doing all that.
It's quite weird seeing this side of Rachel as well, given we just never see anything resembling this side of her personality.
Yeah, there's a lot of continuity errors really in this. One, the fact that Rachel says she's always been able to sail, despite the fact there's an entire episode where she had to pretend she was going to a regatta gala, even though she didn't sail, yeah. And she just supports it.
Yeah. She'd have fitted right in at a regatta gala.
I know, right? Quite a weird phrase. English pronunciation, you know, when she says
regatta gala.
Regatta gala. That's what I was kind of doing, but then putting the T's in. Regatta gala.
I remember regatta being a thing in a Thomas the Tank episode.
Really?
Yeah.
A regatta gala.
Yeah, they have. I don't know if they have a regatta gala.
Just a gala or just a regatta?
Just a gala. Is that the same thing?
No. No, the regatta's the sea bit, right?
Yeah.
You can have a gala for anything.
Okay. Well, I'm going to Google what I was on about.
What are you going to Google?
Thomas the Tank Regatta.
You think it was a regatta, not a gala?
A regatta? Yeah, there is one. There's a whole episode. It's called Duck and the Regatta.
Duck in the Regatta?
No, Duck and the Regatta.
What's the plot line?
Duck is apparently the helicopter. No, that was Harold. There was a regatta in Thomas the Tank Engine.
The more you know, Pete, the more you bloody know. Anyway, so yes, you do. We're seeing a whole different side of Rachel here, aren't we? And we get to see a peek into her spoilt past with her ponies and boats as well.
Yes, true.
Turns out Joey just uses his boat to hang out and drink, which, frankly...
That's what I'd use a boat for, to be fair.
Can kind of see. I mean, this is the thing, right? If I was Joey and I was going to buy a boat, it wouldn't be a fucking sailboat. It'd be a motor... You know, like something that's easy to manoeuvre.
It'd be a motorboat.
Yeah, stopped halfway through the sentence and then you picked it up and you had to say the whole word, didn't you?
What, motorboat?
Yeah.
What's wrong with saying motorboat?
Nothing's wrong with saying motorboat. But what I'm saying... in a jacuzzi. but what I'm saying is it isn't sort of an endeavour, isn't it, to take on a sailed boat when you've never sailed?
Yeah, true.
Absolute madness. I know he does it on a whim, but still. And then, like we say, Rachel sort of promises to be better. She can't be better. She ends up shouting at him loads and he gets really angry. And then eventually she realises that she's basically just her father. Resigns herself to the fact that that she shouldn't be teaching sailing. And they start eating sandwiches. And as we say, can't eat a sandwich to save her life, can she?
No.
Absolutely livid.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I really like, in this bit, Phoebe's response to Monica suggesting a fire-protected copy of the recipe, where there's a really long pause while the audience laughs at Phoebe's sort of physical confusion to the suggestion. And then she just adds, because I'm normal.
It's one of the lines that really makes me laugh continually, that one, because it's absolutely fair.
It's the hesitating to respond while the audience laughter dies down that I love.
Yeah, it's the whole proper pause, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although having mocked Monica for the sort of suggestion that would be mad, it does turn out she has sort of bagged up individual cookies in the freezer.
My issue with the batches of cookies, I don't believe any batch of chocolate chip cookies could be bad enough to make you want to instantly vomit.
Yeah, I was trying to wonder what was in... Because the recipe can't have changed hugely from batch 15, right?
Well, exactly.
And batch 16 is like, what is in that that makes Ross immediately throw up as well? Not like after a while. Like when he takes that second bite, he's like running to the toilet, isn't he?
Yeah, straight in. Bam.
Straight in. Herein lies the entire problem with the plot for me personally, and you may be similar. Did you even heard the world's Nestle Toll House before you'd watched Friends?
No, just Nestle.
Yeah. It ain't a thing here, right?
No.
Can you buy them?
It is like a Nestle's. I assume. Is Toll House the American bit and then Nestle's
the
European bit?
Would you like a history lesson?
Because Nestle have a big factory in York.
Do they?
Yeah.
There you go. We don't like Nestle. Do we still hate Nestle? There was a whole era of our lives when it was like we were boycotting Nestle. Do you remember?
Were we?
Do you remember?
I didn't get the memo.
Really?
I'm still buying Kit Kats.
Well, I don't think it's held. Nestle boycott. 1977?
Wonder why I don't remember it. I'm fucking six. So is like Nestle the European bit, and then is Toll House an American bit that at some point became attached to it?
Well, I can tell you exactly because, Peter, I've done the research. Would you like to know?
Yeah, go on then.
In 1939, a woman called Ruth ran a restaurant in Massachusetts called the Toll House. She was mixing a batch of cookies when she decided to add broken pieces of Nestle's semi-sweet chocolate into the recipe, expecting the chocolate to melt. Instead, they held their shape but softened slightly to a delicately creamy texture.
Did she invent chocolate chips?
So the chocolate chip cookie was born.
Wow, that's a good fact.
The Toll House Crunch cookie recipe was then published in a Boston newspaper, and her invention of the chocolate chip cookie quickly became the most popular cookie of all time that I've literally never heard of before watching this television show.
Oh, hang on. So a Toll House is a type of cookie?
Yes.
And Nestle...
It's a McVitie's digestive, Pete.
Oh, that makes more sense.
You know? Yeah, but again... That big reveal for us is absolutely nothing, right?
No, I just made the assumption that they were the same, that they were some sort, it was something sort of an extension of the company.
Exactly. So there you go. We've all the Brits listening have learned something now, at least.
Yeah, that was good. Well done.
Thank you very much. I like to bring some education to you sometimes, every now and then.
Mm. Once a series?
Once per, well, if that. So anyway, this all starts, we'll cycle back a bit, because Monica and Chandler demand engagement presents. I don't want to start my rant on this in the same way as greetings cards, Pete, but engagement presents can fuck off as well.
Well, one of my friends recently said to me that if and when he gets engaged, and this will anger you,
yeah,
he expects an engagement present that is worth at least three figures.
Fuck off.
That is basically what my response was.
Why?
Just that's what he anticipated.
But why?
I went to a wedding on Saturday. I gave him 50 quid for their...
That's what I'm saying. I was going to say, you're already, by virtue of an engagement, tying me into an event where I have to bring a present anyway.
Exactly.
So don't make me buy a pre-present to the fucking present I'm going to get you later.
Yeah, bollocks, isn't it?
Three-figure engagement.
Especially when, to go to their wedding, you'll probably have to spend quite a bit anyway, because weddings are expensive.
Well, I rarely buy wedding presents these days, actually, Pete, and that is actually partly because I often end up playing or, you know, performing or something, which I feel like is worth more than a present I would buy. But often I'm like, I've basically spent 500 quid to be here. Like,
yeah,
you don't want me here? I'll check you 50 quid and we can make do. But otherwise, I've spent enough on this.
Right.
I think if I got married, I wouldn't expect any of my friends to buy presents. I'd expect any rich family members, basically. They can cough up.
Yeah, do you know the ridiculous thing? And, like, it's like when you end up... Imagine, like, I've a wedding gift list.
Yeah.
Like, when you think... You just basically go on the John Lewis website and think, yeah, quite fancy that.
100%.
Some fucking uncle can buy me that
100%.
Fucking toaster.
Yeah.
What a load of bollocks.
It is a load of bollocks. Not to mention, the best bloody present you're getting is choosing to spend your life with the person you love. Like, don't make me contribute towards that. You've already got more than I've got, you prick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rub it in my fucking
face.
And
now I've got to buy you a fucking towel set.
I know, right? All right, yeah. So you want me to be alone and broke, do you?
Yeah.
Not just alone.
Prick.
Enjoy your smug house with your Nestle Toll House cookies and your towel set. Your toasters. Anyway, so I don't believe in engagement presents, and therefore I think Ross, you know, Ross is bemused, and so he should be, because he didn't get one, and frankly, neither should he have.
Yeah, fair.
And also, talking of smugness, Monica's smugness is massively misplaced, Pete, because do you know what the Nestle Toll House recipe doesn't have? Nutmeg.
Oh, doesn't it?
No.
So there is strongly
no fucking nutmeg.
Have you actually looked at the recipe?
Yeah. Of course I have. Some of us put some work into this bloody show, Pete, you know? Don't just drink a finger of Diet Coke and talk about seagulls, you know?
Yeah. Seagulls have really been a theme of this series, haven't they?
Yes, they really have. It's hard not to be a theme when they're constantly squawking around our brains, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another continuity error. Would you like another one?
Go on.
Phoebe says she made her grandmother made her swear on her deathbed to never let the cookie recipe out of the family. Phoebe's grandmother famously died in the grocery store picking up yogurt, right?
Oh, well, I didn't remember that, but that's a good point.
Remember? She, what was the line? Bent down to pick yogurt and never came back up again or something?
I really like the looking up at us and smiling.
Yes, that's a
very funny was nice
line.
To me, but she was definitely in hell.
Yeah. That is definitely funny.
And the end of that scene as well with things like this where you're burning in hell.
That's all very funny. And actually another Phoebe sort of personality little thing slipping out is her specific death date.
Yes.
Which I noted, Peter, coming up quite soon.
Oh, no.
It's only 9 years away as we record.
Oh, well, it's not too soon.
We'll try and celebrate that if we remember to.
Celebrate it?
Well, as in mark it, you know?
Okay, fine.
It's not too bad to celebrate a fictional character's death, I wouldn't have thought.
No, that's true.
And then finally, actually, you would be annoyed if you and Monica and Phoebe and Joey just walked in and ate that cookie. I mean, they were clearly doing something. That did rile me a bit.
Yes, fair.
Delayed reaction there? Just for,
yeah, sorry, I needed to scratch my head.
Like, as in to think about it, or...?
No, it was just... No, I had an itchy head.
Just an itchy head. All right, fair enough. And there we go. Would you like to play a sting for the quiz Jeopardy?
Yeah, okay.
Well, Pete.
Do you think we have a quiz?
Well, Pete, here's the thing. We definitely do have a quiz.
What do you mean?
Well, have you got a quiz?
Yeah.
Who's it from?
Christian.
Yeah. Have you not got one from Beth as well?
I have got... Well, I was about to do a big reveal that there were two quizzes, but you fucking ruined it.
Well, would you like the story behind the quiz?
Go on.
Well, last week on the podcast, you said there's no quizzes.
Yeah, and I think I called them lazy bastards.
You call them lazy bastards. So I put on my very professional quiz post on Instagram, who wants to do it? And Beth kindly volunteered and sent one. But then underneath, Christian commented, "Hi, Fwoofpod. I'm one of the requesters for this episode, and I definitely sent a quiz a while back. Please double check." Smiley face. Sorry, I read that in the wrong tone. I should have read the smiley face first.
Yeah, you made that sinister when he was being nice.
So there you go. Who fucked up, Pete?
Probably me.
Probably.
Definitely me. Which quiz do you want first, Beth or Christian's?
Let's go for Beth's, please, and say Beth's Christian's quiz. To last. I don't know. It makes no difference. Is first the headlining quiz or is second? I couldn't decide either way.
Oh, it says players a slideshow, if possible, as the answers are hidden behind the... Oh, okay. I don't have hidden behind the... Oh, okay. Here we go. Beth, this is production effort.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do it as a slideshow. I can't see the answers.
Email me that quiz because I'll try and open it here while we do Christian's quiz. How about that?
I mean, if you logged into the Friends of Friends email, you'd just have it. But
I've never looked into it ever.
Right, here comes Christian's quiz. Ready?
Thank you.
Question one. What does Monica definitely taste in the sample cookie?
Nutmeg.
It is nutmeg. Question two. When does Phoebe believe she's going to die?
2032, but I don't know what date. October 15th?
Oh, that is correct, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Question three. How many beers did Joey have on his first boat lesson with
six
Rachel?
6.5.
It is 6.5. I knew that one.
Yes, I'm smashing this. I'm really thrilled.
Question four. What coloured glasses did Rachel think Chandler already had?
Oh...
I don't remember this reference.
No, blue?
Burgundy, apparently.
Burgundy. No, no, no.
Question five. What cookie batch? Oh, fucking hell. There's 10 questions. What a quiz extravagant. Right, okay, you ready?
Quiz to end.
Which cookie batch did Ross not like?
16.
What condiment does Phoebe put on her sandwich at the beginning of the episode?
Ah, mustard.
Correct. According to Joey, there was a piece of styrofoam shaped like who?
Oh, I'm not a...
It's Mike Tyson. I know that one. Yeah. Yeah. What does Chandler's white shirt say?
Oh, no snow or something like that?
Think snow.
Yeah, I remember thinking, that's weird.
Question nine. How many chocolate chips can you see on Phoebe's last frozen cookie?
Oh, no.
How can you see? 7, apparently.
Boo.
And finally, what kind of boat does Joey have?
Sailboat.
Catalina.
I don't know any types of boat, do you?
No.
Have you emailed me that other quiz yet or not?
Yeah, I've sent you it.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've got it.
Fine.
And that answer hidden behind the pictures. I understand what's happened here.
Us ending a series of Friends of Friends with a quiz that doesn't work would be very us.
This is peak us. The quiz looks very nice, though, doesn't it, Pete?
It does. It's got a colour scheme.
Yes, it's actually better than the slideshow I do for our quizzes, you know? So I'm playing the slideshow, right? And then how do I move the pictures? Oh my God! That's so good!
Why? Not really.
Ah, look.
As grateful as I am for the efforts, this doesn't work great on a podcast.
Okay, question one. What designer is Rachel wearing during the sailing lessons?
No idea.
I'm going to send you a video as I reveal the answer, okay?
Okay.
Tommy Hilfiger is the answer.
Okay.
And now I'm going to send you this video, and you will enjoy live the sort of reaction I had.
Are you sending a video for each answer?
No. Just so you can see how the answers reveal themselves, you know?
Okay. Oh!
Nice, right?
Yeah, very smooth.
So the picture sort of transitions, slides up away in a lovely transition with some sort of, terms, but you know, it's good. What spice, question two, does Monica taste in the cookie?
Nutmeg.
Asterisk, spoiler, it's not an ingredient listed in the real Nestle cookie mix. Correct, Beth. We are two brains alike. What batch was the batch of the best batch of cookies?
18.
It's Pete's fault. It was 16. Oh, the best batch. Shit, sorry. 17. That's a slightly different question. The best batch was 17. How many batches in total, Pete?
18.
22.
Oh.
What does Rachel want Joey to tighten on the boat?
Some sort of string.
The Cunningham. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know what a Cunningham is. And what do Jackson-Laws think his profession is?
Lawyer.
Good quiz. Really good quiz. Thanks, Beth. Looks great. Good transitions. Good colour scheme. Might just nick that for my next Friends with Friends quiz, which is on. Pete, would you like to know?
It's up to you. I might be there either way.
September the 14th. Please do come down and see us. I've had a few messages from people saying, how do we know when the quizzes are on? And that is because I never save them. So there they
are. The most important thing to do is follow on Instagram.
Yes, absolutely.
FWF Pod on Instagram. And you should follow there because we no longer have Twitter. And you should also follow there because this is the end of series 10?
9.
Of Friends of Friends?
10, yeah. Is it? No, 9.
I thought it was 10. What series are we finishing?
I think this is...
Oh, he fucking cares. and you should follow us on Instagram because then you'll find out when we are back, which won't be long, so stop crying. This is the end of season 9. Series 9.
Thank God for that.
I think we need a break.
Christ alive after all that, don't we?
See you in the jacuzzi.
But I see you in the jacuzzi.
What is that float? Oh.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.